Episode 42, Rob, we're back.
Like a bad habit.
Yes. All right, episode 42, thought it'd be interesting for us to chat about something. I don't know if it's taboo or not, but kind of a little peek behind the curtain, the concept of pitching, agency pitching.
Not baseball pitching.
Not baseball pitching, of which we've had some tremendously fantastic pitching here in the city of Atlanta.
We have.
And we have great pitching stories.
We do. And I did read one the other day, and I failed to look it up, but I will after this. And there was a guy that, there's a new pitch. We have a new pitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is ringing a bell. Is some guy in South America or something? Or
South America?
Central America?
Maybe so. Don't hold me to that. But there's a guy who's now has a new pitch. Okay, he's developed a new pitch, and no one can hit it.
The wicked googly.
It's the wicked googly.
Okay.
And nobody can hit it.
But do we know what it is? Do we know what it's based off of? We don't know. It's not a slider. It's not a curve.
I think it's a sinker. I think it's like an exaggerated sinker.
Okay, crazy.
It takes a right angle. Like literally like a right angle turn in the middle of the
halfway to
pitch.
The
set. Halfway okay. there, yeah. It just stops and turns.
All right, we're going to have to follow up in show notes on what the deal
is. Best baseball movie ever?
God, there's been some good... I mean, you're going to say Field of Dreams is the best one, right? I mean, if we're talking about the quality of film and totality of longevity and what... I mean, Field of Dreams is the best one. But you can't discount the fun that is Major League.
Wild Thing.
Right? Well, isn't Wild Thing is the guy that's in Major League, right?
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
Willie Mays Hayes, you got everybody.
That's, right? I think I enjoyed that more than Field of Dreams.
Was that Wesley Snipes? Was that, who was Willie Mays Hayes?
I think it was.
I don't remember. Anyway, I would say that it, you know, I mean, what do you want? You know, it's like, hey, Oscar winning movies, do you rewatch those things over and over and over again? Or, you know, are Oscar winning movies on TBS that you stop and watch 20 minutes? No, Major League is. You know what I mean?
Major League is.
So you probably watch something like Major League. Charlie Sheen was the main guy.
Yeah.
He
was Wild Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you probably watch Major League more than you watch Field of Dreams, right?
Right.
But I would say that Field of Dreams is probably a better
The quintessential.
Movie. Yeah. Exactly.
Kevin Costner.
Exactly.
Film.
So pitchers, pitching. What are we talking about here? Agency pitching. Or do we have any other baseball pitching we want to mention? Because you know, I know we're both thinking of the same thing.
Well, we have Phil Niekro. We have the greatest curveball.
Knuckleballer, right?
When I say curveball?
Yeah, that's okay.
Not right.
we're ad guys. We're not baseball guys. We need Kyler in here to talk baseball.
Yeah, but the knuckleball, so he's the most famous knuckleballer. Wouldn't you say? Or I mean, at least in Atlanta.
For Atlanta, lore. I would say. I think Tim Wakefield is probably the most relevant current knuckleballer because I think he was the last one. I don't think there's any knuckleballers left in baseball anymore.
Are they?
It's all about the power pitch now.
Dead breed.
Yeah. No one's throwing like a 68 mile an hour knuckleball. It's all about like the 102 mile an hour fastball. Like, it's not even about location anymore. It's just about how hard and how fast you can throw it. Yeah, exactly.
I would love somebody to bring back the knuckleball, though.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great?
No one would know how to hit it, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But
you'd swing and the ball would get there 3 seconds later.
Yeah, it's like every speed is an off-speed pitch, you know? So so we got knuckleballers, and then we've got the famous I-285 incident, who I guess earned the nickname 285. Did you know that? His teammates were calling him 285?
And I thought about this too because I've got a little bit of a rotator cuff injury myself. But he was a great sidearm thrower, Pascual Perez.
Yes, Perez.
Outside of Atlanta, do you know Pascual Perez?
No, right. Because he has the famous. Do you want to tell the story, or do you want me to tell the story?
You go ahead.
Okay. So the story is not dissimilar to DC and the Beltway, right? Atlanta, for those that don't know, has two main freeways that go through the artery of Atlanta, and then we have a perimeter. Freeway 285 that is basically just a big circle that goes around the city of Atlanta, right? And kind of helps define the metro area. So Perez, on his way to pitch one day and whatnot, and I looked this up, so I actually have information
on
this.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Yeah. He got lost on the freeway system and got stuck on 285 and just kept driving in circles
around
Atlanta, right? And what happened is he did make it to the ballpark.
Okay. Was it a postseason game?
It was not a regular season game.
No.
However, he arrived 10 minutes late. The game had already started.
Okay. But it was only 10 minutes late?
So he missed because you got a hand in your lineups. He's out. He couldn't play. He wasn't a starting pitcher. He couldn't do it.
Right.
But the trivia is Phil Niekro is who pitched in place of him.
What?
Yes. So it must have been near the end of Necro's career, right? And he got the win. So, Phil Necro got the win.
All right. Do you know what year? Don't say. But
no, I don't know what year. I don't know what year.
I'm going to guess.
No, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
I think it's... Dead I air. Think it's Dead 80, air. 86, 87.
I don't know. I mean, we can put it in show notes.
Was it after that?
I have no idea. I don't have my phone on me. I can't look it up. But yeah, randomly, Phil Necro, the great knuckleballer, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So random. All right, there's our baseball. Nobody tuned in to listen to two guys talk about baseball. So switching from baseball pitching to agency pitching,
yeah,
right? Very commonplace in our industry. Thoughts? What are your initial thoughts, impressions on how it works, how we do it, how we don't do it, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think in thinking about this idea in pitching, you know, I immediately think about the glorified, you know, version of advertising that the general public sees, right? So we've got Mad Men, which of course was the long-running AMC, amazingly.
Yes.
Well-produced show.
Don Draper.
Whom we've played golf with.
I was about to say, that's another podcast.
We played golf with Top Golf.
I'm going to call it golf, man.
That counts.
I'm going to call it golf.
That counts.
Didn't you do a second day with him, though? Or
I did.
No?
I played at East
Lake. Okay, so you've played.
I lost $20 to him.
Okay, well, hey.
Not only is he incredibly handsome.
Yeah.
He's an amazing golfer as well.
Yeah, he's a pretty athletic dude.
Yeah, he's a triple threat.
Yeah, yeah. And he's incredibly nice. That's another story. We'll tell our John Hamm stories another time.
Anyway.
So we have Mad Men.
We think about the glorified version of advertising, and that was the sort of the, you know, the pinnacle of advertising where we're martinis and everyone's drinking all the time and we're pitching all the time. And, you know, we've got these great storyboards and we're pitching airlines and doing all this great stuff.
Yeah, somebody comes in, it's the big song and dance.
And then fast forward, if you think about ad nerds will know this. But that show, The Pitch, which was also on AMC, I believe. I didn't look it up to fact check, but I think it was on AMC as well.
Yeah, I think because of the popularity of that show, they did this weird reality show called The Pitch.
Right, and it was a few years back, and this was, so you'd have different agencies come in to pitch. And, it's an interesting notion. It's an interesting idea. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
The parts that you don't see are all the work that goes into the pitch.
Yes.
And what that requires, and is that right for clients to ask or not ask or do or not?
Well, for those that don't know, I guess, you know, the process generally is, hey, I'm a client. I have a budget. I have, you know, an opportunity here. I need help with advertising or whatever the case may be, right? And it's, you know, we'll send out an RFP, request for proposals, right? To various agencies, and it'll be a big long list of all sorts of things to answer, questions to answer, and whatnot, right? And then sometimes I think what Rob is referring to is sort of the spec creative aspect to it, right? Where
right.
it's, hey, here's our communication challenge. We have to sell more of our product, or we have a, you know, specific service we want to highlight, or whatever the case may be, right? And then it's how would you attack this problem, and you know,
come show us your best ideas.
Yeah, come show us. Yeah, give away the ideas basically for free on the premise that you might, you know, win the business, of course.
Right.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's good. But pitches are handled in different ways, right? So there's sometimes you have the consultancy that's brought in.
Yeah.
Most of the time, this is for large companies, and they bring the consultancy in. They send the agent. They're sort of the go-between the agency and the client, right? And so they'll send you the, you know, 78-page RFP.
Yeah.
And
those guys will ask for what your blood type, how many children you have.
Absolutely.
All sorts. And they'll ask for the excruciating amount of detail that has nothing to do with actually doing work on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
You know?
So there's those. There's that type. Then there's the other type where it's... they reach out to you direct, right? The client there is no middleman, and the client reaches out direct.
Yeah.
And so generally speaking, when you have like the consultancy style pitch, sometimes there will be a pitch fee.
Yeah.
But generally, more often than not, there is not.
Correct. Yeah.
The idea is, hey, bring us your best ideas.
Yeah.
Agencies 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yes.
We're not going to compensate you for that time.
Yeah.
And if you win, you get...
Hooray.
Yay, the windfalls and all the millions of dollars and all
that. Absolutely.
The problem with that is, as I see it, is that the toll that takes on the agency in terms of stress, in terms of man or woman hours, in terms of the financial implications, and everything, and the time that it takes away from actual paying clients that you already have, can be detrimental to agencies.
Absolutely.
So generally speaking, we try and stay away from those. I'll go ahead and say that as much as we can.
Yeah. But I think one of the things that you and I both do agree on is that not all RFPs are written the same.
Absolutely not.
Right.
And I think that
you mentioned the two different paths of the consultancy, right? Those are pretty formulaic. Those are tough, right? When clients come out direct, there's a couple different ways. Normally it can either be a very well-written RFP or it can be a very poorly written RFP, right? It's like, oh, I just found this online and I'm using this as a template to solicit business, you know, whatever the case may be, right? So I think sometimes we'll get an RFP that absolutely has the correct vibe. You know what I mean? Is asking the right questions.
Yeah.
You know, is like, we'll have a reaction to that where it's like, oh man, yeah. Like this is right up our alley. This is our jam, you know?
Yeah. I think let's tell a case study.
Yeah. Name drop it.
So, a few years back we got an RFP from a company called AgriGold, and it was sent directly from the client.
Yeah.
And, it was, I don't even remember. It was probably 15 pages. It was nice and concise, but it was very clear that they understood exactly who they were, exactly what they were looking for, and did not care to go through any of the rigmarole of how many people work at your agency, what is your agency's revenue, and all of those things that you see a lot of times.
I mean, there was a little bit of that stuff in there, but it wasn't overwhelming.
No, but it wasn't. Yeah. But it was a reasonable ask, and it didn't feel like big client CYA stuff.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So that came through and we read it and went, oh wow, this is really interesting. It was a cool product that they were looking to promote. And we kind of read it, and true to form, like your gut tells you a lot, we kind of went, wow, this seems cool.
Yeah, we can totally do this.
We should do this.
Yeah.
And chatted with them. They seemed like really cool people, and ended up being so.
Yeah.
And we totally answered it. And this is, I think, important. The way that you respond to the RFP, we always say we're going to respond the way that we want to respond and the way that we want to do business.
Yeah, authentic to who we are.
Authenticity is, I think, critical.
Paramount, yeah.
And it totally worked out in that instance. And we put in a bunch of upfront work.
Yeah.
We actually did. And got the job and got the client and ended up doing fantastic work with really cool people.
Totally. And all that work, it was some of that work, not all of it, but a few pieces are actually on our website.
It was Let's Talk Seed.
Yeah.
It was sort of the campaign platform, and we did some really cool work that we're proud of. So yeah, go to the website and check it out.
Yeah, super fun.
But I think that's kind of what it amounts to. There is no right or wrong answer as to whether you should pitch or whether you shouldn't pitch.
Yeah.
You know when it's right.
Yeah.
It's different for different size agencies.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course.
Yeah. If you're a gigantic agency, you have a pitch team.
Well,
that's all they do.
Yeah.
And they almost treat it like VC money in regards to, we just need one of these 10 to hit, and then it covers the fees for everybody internally and this and that, right?
So, right. I think back to the pitch. I think, I remember...
The TV show?
Yeah, the TV show.
Yeah.
And what I liked about that was there was a case where Waste Management came in, and they were the client.
Yeah.
And all the teams came in and pitched. And the idea that I liked best was... this agency came in and their whole platform was trash can. So it was a nice spin on just trash can.
Yes.
And it was all about the positive effects of recycling and waste management and all the things they did as a corporation.
Yeah.
And I thought that was super awesome. Like I love just that simple.
Yeah.
Turning simple a trash style. Can into a positive.
Yes. Yes.
And I love that. And they didn't win.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes clients
which
don't pick
crazy.
The smart ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's up to
and
them.
And I couldn't tell you which one.
Yeah, well, here's what's interesting about that story is that you remember the one that didn't win because that resonated because it was probably a smarter, more interesting solve, you know?
Right.
And for whatever reason, they didn't go with that one, right? So, yet the other one was probably not as memorable,
right?
So, that's interesting. I think, it's, you know, clients have the right to ask anybody any question, you know what I mean? We have the opportunity to say no, right? And many agencies do say no to a certain extent. But as long as there are... a line of people banging on the door to get in to get the business and are willing to do work for free. I mean, the pitching, that sort of component will continue, right? I think what, you know, my sort of interesting, weird take on pitching in general, and we just kind of talked about how, for the most part, we don't respond blindly. You know, it's really the opportunity has to feel right, I guess, in regards to pitching. And part of that is because I feel very strongly that pitching is kind of like getting married before you even right. meet each other or date or kiss or anything, right? It's, hey, here's this opportunity, fill out the stuff, do all this free work, whatever. Yeah. And then boom, now we're trapped in this relationship for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case may be. And I do say trapped because you've never worked together yet, right? If you do select a new firm, and then I'm not surprised at all that there are certain clients that are just always in review and they're always right. in RFP, right? Every 2 years they jettison whatever, because either the relationship doesn't seem like it was set up properly to begin with. And I feel like that is a fault of the get married before you even date each other, right? A lot of our clients that we've worked with for, gosh, like over a decade, for crying out loud, you know, it's the very first project was a small little project. It's a nice little date. It's got to work for you as much as it's got to work for us. Right. And then we grow together, right? So, I mean, that's, you know, again, we're not opposed to, you know, responding to RFPs. I don't love doing spec work, just being totally honest, because you don't really have an opportunity to ask the client what happened, what's worked in the past, what hasn't worked in the past. You know what I mean? You're kind of shooting from the hip a lot of times, right?
There are so many amazingly talented creative agencies.
Yeah.
A lot of people can do a lot of great creative.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a great relationship with the client, you're not going to get the best work. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Great creative can come from anywhere, but great creative is really only the... I don't want to say a small percentage, but maybe half of it.
Well, it has to be based in a strategy for what they're trying to do.
Well, it has to be based in a relationship where you're working with people you like and enjoying doing the work, and that's going to foster a higher level of creatives. And to your point, you go through a pitch and it's like, okay, well, the matchmaker put us on a date.
Yeah.
I guess here we are.
Surprise, we're married.
Yeah. And if you think about new business as a strategy or business development as a strategy, you know, we've been fortunate enough that referrals, we do really well with referrals.
Yeah, well, trust is a trust.
And we
business.
Do, and it's because we start with, to your point, let's dance before we date kind of philosophy, and start with one, and then build a longer term relationship.
Absolutely, I think there's I've never watched it. It's one I haven't watched, but the reality show Married at First Sight. Have you ever watched this?
No.
No, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it like on Netflix or something like that, but I don't know that I have a big interest in throwing that one on. I mean, what's the hit rate for couples that have been married at first sight and stayed together forever?
Right.
Right? I mean, there's kind of an analogy there, I guess, to pitching with clients. So, it's a weird, it's an interesting, you know, I don't know. I mean, can you think of any other industries that this type of approach works outside of advertising?
Yeah. Most often, no. I mean, if you think about, like, let's say you want to build your dream house, right? Yeah. You're gonna go to three architects and go, all right, draw me up the most wonderful plans, and then I'm gonna pick the one that I like, and then I'm gonna pay for that.
Yeah,
then,
but I'm not gonna pay anybody else.
No, I'm not gonna pay anybody else. Or a cabinet maker, or anything.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, yes,
there are other RFP situations where you've got to come in and you've got to present. You've got to do your things. But I think, you know, the idea that you're coming in and presenting like, oh, here's the final product.
Yeah,
and you're either going to buy it or you're not.
Yeah,
that's different than if you're if you're, you know, interviewing consulting firms or for whatever the case may be.
Well,
it's different.
Or cabinet makers, like you said. And we've worked with a cabinet manufacturer, actually. We still work with a cabinet manufacturer, quite honestly, right? So, I mean, think about how many different stains, varnishes, colors, and then treatments of doors there are for cabinets.
Right.
Can you imagine a cabinet maker building your entire kitchen three different ways? Oh, here it is colonial, here it is modern, here it is whatever.
Based on this packet that I gave you.
And then delivering that to your house, right? Three different full sets of cabinets for your house, and then going, okay, like install the one you like the most.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's again, that's an extreme example.
And it's an oversimplification, of course.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I think to a certain degree, the same principles apply. And sometimes, you know, sometimes clients do give pitch fees, which they should.
Absolutely.
For the time and the work and the effort. But anyway, we could go round and round on this subject. And maybe we will. Maybe we'll do an episode 2. Because I think it's worth talking about.
For sure.
There is no right or wrong answer. It's just sort of how you approach it as an agency and as a company.
And how clients approach it. I mean, there's many reasons why. I mean, we haven't really talked about that side of the table, but there's many reasons why they would put an account in review.
Correct.
Know? I mean, there's for a variety of reasons, right? So, it's not going away, I guess, Nope. And it is part of, but it is interesting. It is very synonymous with our business or with our industry.
So. Correct.
All right. Where can the people find us, Mr. Rob?
If they're so inclined, they can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com. And of course on all the socials,
clickety clack, get those fingers
typing the agency. And we always, like to solicit feedback and ideas and, comments, concerns, all that good stuff. So thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks everybody.
Mock the podcast.